I'm Chris from Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material, a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other astonishingly geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
It's the Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon.
Hold on to your ass!
DB Spangler, you stay inside this car.
I have a ghost to bust.
All right, that was cool.
Hey, Gary, come on.
No, I know, I'm sorry. It's just the way she said it. It sounded cool.
And welcome to Smoking and Drinking in Space. This is a sci-fi podcast from a couple guys who think they know sci-fi. And this week we review the movie that crams as many characters into the story as possible to cover up the fact that there's little to no story, starring Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd, McKenna Grace, and a whole laundry list of others. It's 2024's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. But first, he's not the keymaster, nor is he the gatekeeper, but he's the master of moving a flame from lighter to candle. It's Rob. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good.
God damn it.
I remembered after the last one, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, you forgot to cram your face full of pastry.
I took care of it today. Today, it is just a regular old Rice Krispie treat. I am fresh out of fudge rounds. I did have Swiss rolls, but those are a little messy.
Oh, Swiss rolls are the best, though.
Yeah, but I didn't want to get smudges on my laptop.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't notice.
It'd be chocolate as opposed to white.
Yeah.
I'm cramming the last bit in my mouth.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear you chew.
I don't know. SP doesn't seem to be complaining.
Well, that's because SP can't complain.
It's true. It was true.
Oh, SP left.
Yeah, he seems to be having some mic issues.
Yeah, well.
So.
Hopefully he comes back.
Maybe.
All right, so you got any news for us?
That is what I'm supposed to have, right?
It is what you're supposed to have. And it's awesome. A wonder that you have it when you do.
Well, so I am glad that you were not ready right when I said that I was ready, because I wasn't ready. but I am ready now. I had all the news. No, I had all the news items. I just forgot that I was supposed to pull them up.
So what have you been doing this entire time that we haven't been recording this show and you haven't had to provide any news? Have you just been super rocked up?
Dude, I have been so backed up. It's ridiculous. I am glad that we are back this month, because I've gotten to go twice.
Here pretty soon you're going to be going like weekly.
What?
What?
Really?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know. Stay tuned until the end and we'll find out.
Dude, this is amazing.
That's what we call a teaser in the biz.
Well, yeah, and it's like a huge teaser, because I honestly don't know. because you haven't, I have an inkling suspicion, but you have neither confirmed nor denied it yet. So therefore, I don't know if it's really happening.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Lay it on us.
Are you are you familiar with a movie that came out maybe sometime last month involving spiders, but not spiders?
Wait a second. I already did this one.
No. This one's a different one.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because we had this conversation. Well, we had or will have.
We will have this conversation.
We will have this conversation later. Yeah.
Yes, I'm familiar with that movie, and it sucks balls. Don't go watch it.
Yeah. So the interesting thing, just to add fuel to this dumpster fire, is Madame Web is officially a bigger flop than Morbius because it got pulled from theaters after just 5 weekends.
How many weekends did Morbius go?
I don't know. Let's see. Let's see if this thing actually told. I didn't see a specific date on here.
Wait a minute. Morbius was re-released.
Holy shit, it's SP.
Oh, crap. He's back.
I know. I'm here.
He finally got his mic working.
I did. It's, the Rodecaster Pro 2. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, nice.
Talking about, tech issues. So, this will be another email to Rode. But, Morbius was actually re-released in theaters.
Yes, but...
Why?
Because they were trying to bank on the fact that it was getting bad publicity. So they figured if they got bad publicity, people were talking about the fact that it sucked so bad. So they re-released it later on, hoping that people would want to go see it because it sucks so bad.
Because people like to watch a train wreck.
Right. But so Madame Web is a bigger train wreck than Morbius was in that... Madame Web wrapped up its theatrical run with only $43 million in North America before it got pulled. As a barometer for you, Morbius in 2022 made $30 million more than that, so $73 million before it was pulled in North America.
Pulled the first time or second time?
First time. We're just going based off first time. I didn't see what the re-release is. I doubt they're going to re-release Madame Web.
So that's Morbius probably, made almost twice as much money as Madame Web.
Yes, Madame Web made $43 million, which was $30 million less than Morbius in the domestic box office.
So 75% more than Madame Web.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Was it 25% better than Madame Web?
I didn't enjoy it.
I haven't seen it because it's against my nature to watch shit shows. So
that's not true. We're going to be watching some crap coming up soon.
I know, but it's still against my nature.
In fact, when you get done listening to this show. If you haven't already, you can go check out. Well, that's assuming that this is actually going to come out on Friday. You can check out Satic.
It'll come out sometime on Friday.
Yeah. Satic released Fantastic Four 2015, which that was a shit show.
That was a shit show.
Yeah. And I know that it will release on Friday because I have completed my editing and uploaded it and scheduled it.
Now, so wait a minute. Wait
well,
a minute,
I can fix that. Guys.
I know
wait,
you could.
Wait a minute. So the budget for these films, both, was about $80 million, and the box office for both was over $80 million. So technically, they were successes.
No, because the production numbers that you're seeing doesn't include marketing. So basically, a movie.
I know, but none of them do.
Yeah, but basically, you figure a movie has to make about. Especially for movies with this low of production budgets, they have to at least double their money before they start getting into the black.
Well, Morbius did then. It got more than double its budget.
Because of the re-release?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. It made over $160 million. It's over double its budget. So bingo, it's in the black. Madame Web, not so much. But hey, don't worry. They might re-release it.
Yeah, they I guess it did go more than twice. Yeah, just barely. It made just right at twice its budget.
Yeah. You okay? So
I mean, I guess technically it just it stayed even. It didn't lose money, but it didn't really make any money.
It's true.
It kept the crews paid.
Yeah. Yeah. It still sucked up balls, so I don't think they're going to make another one, but.
Hey, listen, we reviewed it on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's the last time I'm ever going to watch that movie. So not watching Morbius ever again. And thanks to you guys, I'm not ever watching Madam Web.
Yeah, yeah, because Madam Web sucks.
Because we watch shit so you don't have to.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's our motto.
Wait, we should probably fix that. Yeah, we should fix that and say we watch shit so SP doesn't have to.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Or we could change it to... We watch shit so you don't have to, except for SP, he still has to.
I like that better.
No. Yeah. It's bad.
That's a good one.
It's a terrible idea.
Especially when he gives us
especially when he puts crap on the list. Like,
Slipstream.
Hey, it had a great cast. It did. How can you mess that movie up? I think we found out why. And the last thing I put on the list is actually really good. It's just a lot.
What was it? Fringe?
Fringe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, We're not doing five years worth of Fringe.
Yeah, but I hear he is going to come in for that one next year.
Is he?
Yeah.
If you guys do it, I'll do it.
We told him we had to. Oh. Save it, Jason.
Save that sound clip.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll pull him in.
We'll do it. It's only 25 more than what we did last summer.
Well, I mean, that's the running thing, though. If SP puts it on the list, he has to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the things that he's put on the list.
I've already seen Fringe. I enjoyed it, and I have no problems podcasting on it.
I enjoyed it as well. So the only person that hasn't seen it is Jason.
I have not seen it. Well, I take that back. I think I've seen the first two or three episodes.
Did you see X-Files?
Oh, yeah. I watched The X-Files.
Did you enjoy X-Files?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't enjoy Fringe knowing what else you enjoy, although you did like Metropolis, so I don't know. Mm,
that's a strike against him.
Metropolis is a good movie.
You keep saying that.
In both content and historical relevance.
You keep saying that, but nobody believes you.
Yeah, I have to go with your co-host there. I'm taking their advice, and they watched the stuff so I don't have to.
Oh, don't do it. You should check out Metropolis.
Do you like to read, SP?
Yes, it is a silent movie.
Let me rephrase that. Do you like to read your movies?
No, I do not.
Then don't watch it because you have to read your movie.
Yeah. You know, the stuff that's been closed captioning with, even on the Marvel stuff, right, on Disney Plus with Maya, I appreciate what they did there. I did not enjoy reading the dialogue.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you don't enjoy reading dialogue, you don't want to check out the new Shogun series, which is actually really good.
Wasn't planning on it, but yeah.
Yeah. Your loss. It's a pretty good series based upon the book. So yeah.
Is that on Apple TV Plus?
No, it's on Hulu.
Hulu. Okay.
All right, Rob, what's your next story now that we've
spent another 10 minutes talking about not news. Yeah. So we were talking about re-releases, and I've got some good news for you guys. You are going to be busy on May 3rd. That's right, May 3rd, one day before May the 4th, be with you. And you're going to be watching Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Because the
it's
getting a 25th anniversary re-release by Disney on May the 3rd. From what I understand,
good that for them. I'm not watching it.
Oh, but there's going to be another like 80 minutes worth of never before seen stuff that George Lucas just re-redid.
Don't care.
Oh, you
Is
sure?
Is it all in the pod race?
You probably it's pod race in real time.
They're adding 80 minutes to that movie.
No, I just put that in there to get a reaction out of you.
Oh,
it worked.
Yeah,
my job here is done. You want to move on?
I don't care. I'm not watching that movie.
So those that do get to go watch the theatrical release or the re-release, they're going to get a first look at The Acolyte that day.
Yeah.
So whatever that means, first episode, who knows?
Yeah.
Eh.
I'm not interested in the dark side.
Well, sorry.
I know a lot of people are jazzed for it. I really do. It just does not grab me. It's like, this might be the Star Wars that's not for me. Of course, I'm the guy that likes episode one and does not like Empire Strikes Back. So.
Okay.
You're
entitled to your opinion, no matter how wrong it is.
Were you banged around a lot when you were a kid? Like, you fell off the monkey bars a lot onto your head and.
No, I just grew up in Minnesota and froze to death a few times.
Oh, okay. That explains things. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, came back to life and, you know, I just come out a different person. It's like Steve Rogers.
Kind of like a
Taco.
What's the movie that they redid? Flatliners. Yeah. So you were haunted.
Haunted by listening to Rob all the time.
Yeah. Well, all of us are. Rob, what's your third news story?
So this is, because it's been so long, Jason, I have four today.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, impossible.
Yeah. No, totally possible.
How long was your bathroom trip?
Like Jason said earlier, it has been a long time. I've been rocked up, so I had extra time.
I didn't need to know. Okay.
Well, you know, if you wouldn't have Rodecaster Pro 2 issues, you would have heard this stuff ahead of time.
But yeah, we can blame Rode on this. Yeah,
yes. Okay,
I'm fine with that.
Hashtag blame Rode.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this one is, I think it's been almost a month, but I think last time I talked about the fact that Voyager. One was sending garbledygook back to Earth, so it might have been dead.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Good news. It was not sending garbledygook. What it was actually sending was readouts of the memory.
Readouts of the memory.
Yeah.
So it did a memory dump.
It did a memory dump. So while they're still not getting, you know, useful, I'm going to say, quote unquote, useful data, like ones and zeros like they were used to seeing, it is an excellent development, according to Joe Westlake, the director of NASA's Heliophysics Division. It's an excellent development because now at least the memory dumps happen when, it gets a blue screen. So they can at least figure out what's wrong with it and maybe hopefully figure a way around it, whether it be a bad sector of memory or something else that's having issues. They'll be able to work around it hopefully and get it back, up and running. Right.
Yeah. So SP, you'd probably know better than either of us. The cosmic radiation out where Voyager is at that point is much less than what it had when it was farther into the solar system, right?
Not necessarily true. I mean, if you're talking cosmic radiation, it's probably bigger. The solar radiation, once you're outside of the heliosphere, is probably less. So cosmic, bigger, solar, less.
Okay. So, but do we know comparatively what speaking, does? what's the ratio of, or what's the... How much cosmic radiation is there compared to helio or solar radiation when it was in the... Because it's similar radiation, just
from
different sources.
Yeah, you're getting more of the high energy stuff outside, but the high energy stuff can penetrate just about anywhere, which is one of the reasons why we have those deep telescopes into rock and into like caves in northern Minnesota and Dakota mines. So yeah, you're probably right that the cosmic radiation, and I have to look this up to be honest with you, but the cosmic radiation probably doesn't change all that much just because of the high energy of it. But the solar radiation goes down. And guys, it was launched in 1977. It's 47 years old. When you guys get to be 47 years old, maybe you will start dumping your memory out into the sphere.
Yeah, I am. Maybe.
You know, their motto though has been 50 years or bust. So they're getting close.
Well, what I'm saying is with the cosmic radiation, I mean that radiation has the ability to like knock bits out of memory, right? So it has the ability to change the voltages within that the memory stores. So it may have actually kind of fucked up some of the hardware in there.
Well, I think 47 years outside getting radiated has done that.
Right.
I don't think it's because it's outside the heliosphere. I just think it's 47 years old and electronics don't fare that well when they're not that well protected. And you might think, well, they knew they were going to send it out. Why didn't they protect it? Because it was like, you're not going to encapsulate it in a sphere of lead that was just too much weight to get out. So yeah, it's been vulnerable the whole time.
Yeah. But it's been kicking longer than they were expecting.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
good on it.
So have you.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I like to defy the odds.
What's your next story?
All right. So are you guys aware of a telescope that's out in space?
No.
Which one?
Oh, choose one.
Those are vicious rumors. There's no telescopes out in space.
Well, I'm talking to SP. He's part of the...
I'm guessing you're either talking about the Hubble or James Webb.
No, not that
Webb.
One. Yes, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, James Webb. So the James Webb telescope, it's out there. And apparently right now it's pointed
at a green screen in a studio.
Well, yeah, but on that green screen is two youthful stars. And apparently... I didn't know this, but the James Webb Space Telescope is a booze hound because it has found complex organic molecules that are found in alcohol, specifically ethanol, floating around out there next to the stars, these youthful stars. Because these youthful stars, they're probably, what, 21? Our equivalent of 21 years old. So they're out there just partying, living their best life.
So it found a fraternity galaxy someplace.
Yeah. A fraternity. And it's gotta be a fraternity because it also found, an ingredient that is used in vinegar.
Acetic acid.
Sure. I don't know.
That's it what vinegar says, is.
It just says another ingredient found in vinegar. So, yeah, it found some molecules.
So, ethanol and acetic acid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a good time.
So, when are you headed out there?
Well, I don't know which one's going to be first. I was going to say as soon as SpaceX gets to and from Earth orbit in one piece.
Well, they do that all the time.
Well, with the Starship, I need to be able to...
People. They do it with satellites all the time. Yeah. They don't do it with people. No,
they do it with people.
They do. Yeah. They've got the crew, the Dragon. Yeah. Crew Dragon.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Because they put somebody up in the space station, right?
Yeah, they've done
They
what?
Just launched the eighth crew up there. And
yeah, I was
going to
say seven, but I was off.
A demo before that. Yeah, so they've launched nine. And that's just... the government to the space station. They've also had private flights too. So they're like at a dozen now.
Dude, they're
private orbital flights.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're making NASA look
dude, catch
bad.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. NASA hasn't.
They had a private, the Axios has had a private place, private flight to the space station. And I believe they've had two other flights. One was just a trial and one was with that big giant cupola they had on there so they could open it up and, you know, see the stars and the Earth and everything.
Yeah, I thought those were just kind of parabolic flights, though. They went up and they came back down.
No, they were up there for days.
Nice.
All right. Anything else?
That's going to be it. I mean, that's... Is that not enough?
I mean, that was four, so you did spend extra time on the toilet this week.
I did. I do have a kind of a cool picture of these two party stars.
Oh, yeah?
I went ahead and put it in the super secret chat cave. There's some icy.
One looks like a snowflake.
It is. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Kind of swirly. Looks like a fancy drink, so they're definitely clubbing. You know?
Interesting. All right. Who's ready for a pod crawl?
Well, I am. Is SP sticking around for the whole show?
No, I'm not. First of all. Second of all, pod crawl on what specifically?
Oh, he doesn't even know what we're reviewing.
No, I don't. I tried to ask you before, but this Rodecaster Pro 2 screwed me. So what are we reviewing? Wait.
When you were having issues, could you hear us? You just couldn't
say anything?
Yeah, I heard
you the whole time. Yeah, okay. I was talking the whole time. You guys didn't hear me.
Nice. No, yeah, we didn't.
We had no idea what you were saying.
So even saying you sound so beautiful, SP, was like super sarcastic. And you thought
I thought you were actually saying that you could hear me. I've got a recording of it. So
nice. SP literally talking to himself.
Ah, that's awesome.
I didn't know that.
that's awesome.
I'm older than 47. All right. You know,
the first sign of memory dumps is you start talking to yourself in riddles.
So what are you guys reviewing?
We're reviewing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh, well, I haven't seen it. So I will have to bow out now. Thank you very much for allowing me to come in and ridicule you guys and for you guys, you know, to ridicule me. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
And we'll catch you guys later. All right.
We'll check you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let's do this.
Yes.
We can call it, I don't know, say a pod. Crawl? The pod crawl! Pod crawl! Pod crawl! Pod crawl! Excellent! Insert it deep! Pod crawl! Kind of like a space suppository full of information.
Right, so imagine this, folks. We've got Ghostbusters, but with a twist. Picture New York City, 1904, where firefighters stumble upon a frozen gentleman's club. Not the kind of chill you'd expect from a night out, eh? And what's playing on the phonograph? Some ancient karaoke? Nope. Just extinct languages. Talk about a party foul. Fast forward to today, and we've got Callie Spengler and her gang taking over an old firehouse like it's a haunted Airbnb. But oh, there's drama brewing, folks. Mayor Peck's throwing shade at the Ghostbusters like it's confetti, threatening shutdowns left, right, and center. Callie's got her hands full, especially with her rebellious teen Phoebe getting grounded from ghostbusting duties. But hey, who needs to be out there catching spooks when you've got family drama to deal with, right? Meanwhile, Ray and the gang are on a shopping spree for cursed objects. Because, you know, nothing says retail therapy like picking up items possessed by ancient demons. And lo and behold, they stumble upon this orb that's got more history than a museum exhibit. Turns out, it's holding back a demon named Garaka who's got a thing for cold weather and mind control. What's next? A demon with a snow globe collection? But wait, it gets better. Phoebe, in a classic oopsie moment, accidentally releases Garaka into the world. Smooth move, Exorcist Junior. Now we've got a demon on the loose, freezing the city like it's a giant Slurpee machine. And guess who's got to clean up the mess? Yep, you guessed it, the Ghostbusters. Armed with proton packs and a whole lot of sass, they take on Garaka and his ghostly gang. It's a showdown of epic proportions, with more sparks flying than a 4th of July barbecue. And just when you think it's game over, Phoebe pulls a Hail Mary and sends Garaka packing back to Demonland. New York City is saved. The Ghostbusters are hailed as heroes, and Roll Mayor Peck eating his own words, credits.
All right, 2024's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So, what'd you think of the movie?
All right, before I say that, I just got to say, your pod crawl lady, she likes her job way too much. She's way too happy about what she's reading.
I don't know what to tell you. She's just, she's very really into her job.
She is. And I've said this before, but you guys haven't heard it. And I still think it's a little freaky. it's a little freaky.
Freaky how? She's just enthusiastic about what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like she's saying it with a smile on her face and everything is like fresh and new to her. You'll never guess. Lo and behold, this happened. Yeah. It really sucked. Oh, wow. I liked the movie.
You liked it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably, I would put it third.
Put it third. Okay.
I would put it third. So I'd like the first one.
Yeah.
Right.
First one's definitely the best.
First one was good. I liked the third one. You know, this Ghostbusters, whatever the first.
Afterlife.
Afterlife. Thank you. I liked that one next. I liked this one. And then Ghostbusters 2. Ghostbusters 2 to me was, you know, the whole like painting coming to life and goo and then the baby thing and then the curator who was like creepy as hell. That one has always been my weakest one. And it's still, I think it's weaker than this one. This one had some problems, yes, but overall it was, I enjoyed it. I thought it was all right. It wasn't like terrible.
Okay. I wasn't as keen on this one as you were.
Okay.
And there were a couple of reasons. First, it took itself way too seriously. So the first three Ghostbusters movies were more comedic than dramatic, right?
Yeah.
This one was definitely more dramatic than comedic. It had a few light, funny moments, but the rest of it was very, very serious and dour and dark. And yeah, it just wasn't nearly as fun as the first three movies.
It did have a more somber tone than lighthearted tone. I will give you that.
Yeah. And the second reason that I didn't like this movie nearly as much as the others is they packed way too many fucking people into this movie. So they tried to cram everybody from the first movie or Afterlife, plus all of the surviving Ghostbusters. So everybody but Harold Ramis.
Right.
It just didn't work. There were too many people in too little movie. So you get fleeting glimpses of several different characters and they didn't make any meaningful impact to the story. They were just kind of there because, hey, look, remember this person from the other movie? And it didn't work.
Right. So I will agree on that when it comes to the kids. I didn't see a need for a black chick or Asian kid. Black chick or Asian. I don't know. I don't remember their names. Those
characters have names. You know what? It's on Wikipedia, holder of all knowledge.
Yes, but me looking that up and coming down here and going, well, you know, I didn't like Celeste O'Connor.
Well, that's the actress's name. So you didn't like Lucky or Podcast. You forgot Podcast's name? He's got a single fucking word as his name.
Yeah, that's how much I remembered of that last show. Hell, I couldn't even remember when I got out of the movie theater what Phoebe's name was. So don't hold it against me.
So but not only do we have all of the people from Afterlife, which includes Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, Grace McKenna. That's four right there.
I'm good with that group because those are the new Ghostbusters. Right,
sure.
I'm okay with that.
They should definitely be in this movie. Right. Celeste O'Connor was the fifth one. Logan Kilm was the sixth one.
Don't care.
I mean, yeah, they could have been dropped from this movie because honestly, they didn't really contribute that much to the story.
Correct.
Podcast was there as kind of this, you know, one or two liner comic relief who was Ray's kind of sidekick there for a sec, but that's really all he did. And then Celeste was there just because, you know, I guess Finn Wolfhard needed to see his girlfriend. I mean, it's oddly funny that, you know, she came all the way from Oklahoma for an intern and just, or an internship, and just happened to be a Ghostbusters internship in the same city where he moved. Yeah.
And he didn't, and he had no idea.
Yeah. And he had no idea.
Right. Right. So, yeah,
we have the original six from Afterlife. And then we have the four Ghostbusters from the first movie. So, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Annie Potts.
Right.
And we have William Atherton, who played Walter Peck, which was the environmental agency guy. He is now mayor of New York.
Right.
And we have a whole bunch of new people. So we have Kumail Nanjiani, who plays the fire master. Like, we needed that fucking character. He was in there for like 10 minutes total in the movie. He moved a little bit of fire and made a fireball. And that was about his contribution. We have Patton Oswalt as this kind of doctor that works at a library. He's a historian.
Yeah, a cult historian, apparently.
We have this new character that befriends Grace McKenna character. I can actually see keeping this one because she was kind of the antagonist that brought in the big antagonist, right?
Which one are we talking about? James Acat, the doctor guy?
No, Emily Allen Lynn.
Oh, the ghost. Yeah, that's the ghost. She's gone.
Well, she's gone now.
Right.
And then we have James Acaster as Dr. Lars Penfield. I don't even remember. Right.
He was the other dude at the research.
Oh, place. That's right. That's right. That's right. He was the one that came up with the ghost extraction machine. Yeah.
Right. Which, okay. So let's talk about all that there. So I was okay with the old crew showing up at the end, you know, because they kind of did that in the first one. I'm okay with them showing up because this is kind of a huge, big bad. It wasn't that bad. I kind of wish there was less Dan Aykroyd in there.
Why? Rafe?
Well, no, just in terms of that character, less, you know, it made sense in the first one because they were new to the whole thing, and it was kind of a tie of trying to get Spengler and all that together, right? So I was okay with it there, you know, but in this one, yeah, he's dealing with the occult or whatever, but it was kind of like, okay, he's in there a lot. You know, when it was supposed to have already been a passing of the torch, so to speak.
Right.
In the first one.
Right.
I was okay with the amount of screen time we had with Ernie because they established that he was Mr. Moneybags in the first one, right?
Right.
So it made sense that Mr. Moneybags, one, he bought the place for the guys, right? For the new Ghostbusters, to keep it from getting condemned. And lo and behold, they were also working on a larger containment facility because they realized that, hey, it was the 80s and we didn't care. I'm okay with that stuff. And I'm even okay with Annie being kind of the go-between because they kind of established that at the end of the first one too. So those my personally didn't bother me. And again, not enough Bill Murray to really matter. You know, he did his normal psycho babble, you know, bullshit stuff, you know, right. Testing you, but not really testing you. You know,
no, he was testing him.
He was testing him.
He was the one that figured out that, you know, Nadim had some hidden abilities.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, he was testing them and everything, but you know, it was kind of off the wall, off the cuff type of test stuff, similar to what we saw in the first one with the, checking whether or not you were clairvoyant or what have you. You know, it was kind of a homage to that. You know, with the whole headpiece and all that fun stuff. But I can see where you where it's heavy, and there were some that didn't need to be there. The two kids didn't need to be there. I really don't even think that we needed Lars, that doctor kid, but it does make sense that he's kind of the person that's running that thing. He's kind of, you know, he was helping do that. The ghost Melody, I didn't see an issue with that. It was kind of there to help move.
Yeah, I'm fine with Melody.
Big bad. Yeah. So, I mean, and then the mayor thing, he was so not in it very much that I didn't really even care. I recognized him from the previous ones, but I was like, eh, whatever. It wasn't enough for me to even care about it. So I don't know. It was heavy. It was thick, but it wasn't, to me, it wasn't enough to matter too much. But I do agree about the tone, thinking back on it, that the tone wasn't the same. It wasn't even the same as what the first one was. The first one had some kind of serious things going with it. Afterlife had some serious things going with it, with the whole dealing with dead dad,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. But it was ultimately kind of lighthearted.
Yep.
This one, teen angst and that kind of stuff just kind of overtook it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. The teen angst really got old pretty quick.
And really, really skirting the line with like suicide. I did feel that.
Who was suicidal?
Phoebe.
You think? I didn't get that impression at all.
I was feeling maybe not necessarily suicidal outright, but she was questioning what it was like to be a ghost and if anybody, you know, would notice and blah blah blah. You know, so it had to me, it felt like it might be going that direction a little bit, you know. It had those okay. It had those notes of it to me.
Yeah. Okay. I can kind of see that. Yeah.
You know, she got kicked off of the Ghostbusters or right. whatever. And then it turned into, you know, what's it like to be a ghost? And then, oh, let me basically kill myself to become a ghost. Yeah. For only 2 minutes. But let's basically kill myself to become a ghost, right?
She wasn't killing herself to become a ghost. She was killing herself so that she could be on the same dimension as her new friend.
Right. Yeah. But it's basically the implications are still there.
Well, but I mean, the whole fact that she set a timer for 2 minutes so right. that she would come back indicates that she wasn't suicidal.
No, but it kind of felt that way. Not necessarily, you know, I didn't think, oh no, she's going to kill herself type of deal, but it was like depression and doom and gloom coming from her, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's so. Just, I mean, even Afterlife, like you said, was more lighthearted than it was serious. And yeah. I agree with that. I think Afterlife had a really good balance of being, you know, dramatic and dark, but offsetting that really well with a lot of the comedic stuff that we saw in that film.
Right.
And I think Paul Rudd really helped a lot with that in Afterlife. I didn't see him as big a role in this one or even as impactful of a role in this movie.
I would go so far as to say he was a supporting character. This was very much the Phoebe show. This was very much McKenna Grace.
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
and
even her mom wasn't in this movie very much.
No. So I find those of, you know, Finn and Carrie and Paul were the supporting characters to McKenna in this one, whereas in the first one it was more of an ensemble. It felt more of an ensemble.
It really split the time between you know, Carrie Coon's character, Callie, Trevor, and Phoebe in that movie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So this one, it was really all about Phoebe, with a little sprinkling of others in there. Now, if they are to do a third one, I would hope that the old crew is gone. Not gone like dead, but gone as in
retired.
Very little screen time, or at the very least a mention, a nod, whatever. And it is focusing solely on the four that we got, you know, the new regime. They've basically been given keys to the city. You know, they're in the good graces of the people, despite everything the mayor tried to do. So I would think the next one would be more about busting.
I'm not sure it's going to make it to a next one.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, you never know, but this one has so far only made $68.5 million against a $100 million budget.
It's only been in the theaters for one weekend.
Oh, I get that.
So, I think
it's not gotten great reviews either.
That's true. It's pretty
mixed reviews. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe not. But it did better than Afterlife, though, in its opening weekend.
True.
So, who knows? I mean, their budget wasn't
huge. But I mean, it barely did better than Afterlife.
Yeah.
It's $45 million in the opening weekend versus $44 for Afterlife. Right.
So they increased the budget by $25 million for the second one.
Where do you think they spent that? Cast is going to be part of it.
I think cast was a big part of it. And maybe I'm going to go with visuals.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
They used quite a bit of practical effects in this with some probably CGI overlay.
Right.
But both the Slimer ghost and Garaka were practical effects. They were puppets.
Yeah, but I seem to remember Afterlife had very minimal CGI going on.
Yeah, up until the end.
Whereas this one, you know, they had
the dragon.
Yeah, they had the sewer dragon and that kind of deal.
Yeah, the lion, I'm pretty sure was all CGI. All of the stupid little Stay Puft Marshmallow Men were all CGI.
So that's where I would guess is a combination of cast and CG. Because they basically had 15 main actors in this, main characters, whereas the first one was starred the four with, you know, a few more being.
Yeah, there were some cameos. So
yeah,
Murray, Aykroyd, Hudson, and Potts's roles in that movie were pretty much just cameos.
Right. That would be my guess, is a lot of it went to that cast because there was significantly more screen time.
Yeah.
For those others.
So did you stay for the post-credit scene?
I did, where the Stay Puft stole the Stay Puft truck.
Yeah, I didn't stay for that, so I missed it.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, I didn't figure I did.
No, the dude was filling up his truck, went to the vending machine to get something, and the Stay Puffs, at first it made it seem like it was the possessor, because you saw some red lights and stuff, but then they show that the Stay Puffs basically had hijacked the vehicle and were driving it and what have you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Do you think post-credit scenes are played out yet?
Yes and no.
I'm pretty done with them.
Yes and no. So this one wasn't a post-credits. It was a mid. I'm good with mid-credit scenes. You know, show the main cast or what have you, and then give me a quick little teaser. But I think it's got to matter. It needs to be like MCU credit scenes, you know, where it
the MCU post credit scenes suck now.
Well, yes, now I'm talking like previous ones where it was setting you up for the next one. You know, I kind of like that. Hell, I'd be good with even some blooper scenes or something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that would be kind of interesting, is to see a few blooper scenes or something. But yeah, I'm not butthurt when there's not a post credit. You know, it's
a lot of times I just don't care and I get up and leave.
Yeah, I do check. I do check my, I'll typically search online, because by the time I've watched, you know, by the time I go to watch it, it's already been out and about. So, you know, I'll know whether or not there was a post credit scene.
Yeah.
And then I'll go watch, you know, and I'll stick around for it and then leave. Yeah. But.
All right. Final thoughts?
Man, we're going quick on this one, huh?
I mean, we've been at it for a while.
Well, no, we've been recording for 54 minutes, but like 10 of that was you prepping.
That was not 10 minutes worth of prep.
And then us waiting around for SP to show up. No, I got no final thoughts. I mean, I thought it was good. It's worth seeing, right? I mean, it's
yeah, I mean, you could go see it.
Yeah,
if you miss it, it's no real huge deal, but it's
right. Wait for it to come out if you want. You don't necessarily have to go see it in the theaters, but I would at least watch it. It's kind of good. It's not terrible. It's not terrible.
It's not bad.
Nah. It was a date night movie, and the wife enjoyed it. And I did too, for the most part. You know, they just had a few of those, like the cameos and that kind of stuff, or the old ones. You know, I was kind of like, I was a little burned out on that. You know, I half expected, and I told the wife this. I half expected when the tank blew up that we would get cameos of previous ghosts that have been busted. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, we did get a cameo of a previous ghost that had been busted. We got the library ghost.
Well, yes. Well, that I don't think that one ever got captured.
Yeah. The library ghost got captured during their monologue, or during the
montage
in the first one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but even then, I kind of expected, you know, maybe see the Ghostbusters 2 dude, the Craven the Terrible or whatever. Maybe not necessarily the big bads, or the big bad from the first one, that god. You know, but I kind of figured we'd get some of the low level ghostesses. You know, but that was it.
All right. Well, you got a haiku for us this week?
I always do.
You don't always do.
I have always had a haiku.
I don't believe it.
Ever since I started doing it. I have proof. They are all written down in a document.
I'm going to need to see that proof.
Okay. It's on the OneDrive. This one is titled Meatsicles. Cold New York summer, horny ghost creates havoc. Busting feels so good.
You're gross.
Right. I mean, you could go two ways with that last line.
Right? I know.
It's a double entendre, almost a triple entendre, but yeah.
You got any awards?
Yes, I do.
All right, who's got your black lung?
I'm giving it to Melody, because she got burned in a fire and was always on fire.
Well, and the implication was that she set the fire, right?
Right.
She it was is, a cause fire she had bug.
The, yeah, because she had the matches on her. Yeah.
So Melody's going to get mine too.
Or she did something with the matches and ended up, like, you know, lit a candle or something and
right.
caught on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, Melody's getting mine too. What about your head lush?
So the head lush is going to go to Venkman and his electrical panel scotch.
Yeah. Yep, that's who's getting mine too.
Yeah, decades old electrical panel scotch.
Well, I mean, it's alcohol, so.
Right, no, I know, but.
Dark place. It shouldn't have been too awful.
It had been there for a while. So, yeah.
All right. What about your player?
You know, I didn't have anything right out, but the more I think about it, you know, I'm going to give this one to Melody for more or less playing Phoebe, even though she didn't want to, right? But, I mean, she got Phoebe to do what Horny Man wanted, Garaka wanted her to do, right? So... I'm giving it to her.
All right. So mine's going to go to Trevor. I think that the whole reason that Lucky came up to New York for that internship was so she could be close to Trevor.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing happened.
Yeah. Nothing happened. Of course, she didn't even tell him that she was there.
Right. Right.
Purple Hippo.
Phoebe. Turning Phoebe? Into a ghost and then getting possessed.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I'm going to give mine to Melody because yeah, she was trapped as a ghost for who knows how long and then finally transitioned over. So.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Well, I guess now's the time where we pick a random. Ooh. Oh, wait. No, we don't. No.
This is the major market tease.
Oh, yeah. I teased you towards the beginning of the show, huh?
You don't even remember teasing me. That's how.
Oh, I remember teasing you. I always remember teasing you.
Okay, good. All right.
All right. So
I think I have a sneaking suspicion, but.
What's your suspicion?
My suspicion is you are breaking down and we're going to be covering Fallout.
We are. So we are going to be covering the new sci-fi series that's going to be coming out in April. So it comes out April the 11th. I have no idea when we're going to fit this into our schedules, but we'll figure out some way to fit this into our schedules. So we will be covering the new sci-fi series that's coming out on Amazon called Fallout. So this is based upon the Fallout video game series, which is a favorite of mine since the 90s.
Right, and, retro sci-fi almost.
So it's retro futuristic science fiction. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it is, I love the setting. I love the mythology. The previews and trailers that I've seen for the show look absolutely incredible. They seem to capture the feel of the Fallout universe just spot on. So I'm super excited about this series. I very, very much hope that it doesn't disappoint. It's got Walter Goggins in it. He's excellent. It's got several other excellent actors in it. So super excited about this, and we will be covering it during its run on Amazon.
I don't know when. It looks like we're doing double headers.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. We be full. But hey, that's okay, because this is your show, which means I have very little prep that I have to do. I just have to take a lot of dumps.
Yep, there you go.
So that'll work.
The only prep you have to do is watch the show.
And take a lot of dumps.
And take dumps. Mm-hmm. And write haikus.
Those sometimes just write themselves. Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Not all the time, though.
Sometimes, and by write themselves, do you mean ChatGPT spits them out?
No, I have... Oh, you've just given me an...
Oh, no, you can't use ChatGPT for your haikus. It's 17 fucking syllables.
I know. I wonder what it would come up with, though. I might just do it on one of these just to see what it comes up with.
Oh, there's no telling.
I know, right? But I've... Every one of them I've done. I'm even proud of my Quiet Place haiku.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... Like I said, sometimes they write themselves.
All right. Well, that's got it for this episode. Our intro and outro music is Welcome Home by Cambo. Podcrawl music is Snack Mix by Machette. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can leave us feedback on our Discord channel at smokinganddrinkinginspace.com/Discord, or you can email us at smokinganddrinkinginspace@outlook.com. If you'd like to throw a few nickels our way, you can become a Patreon supporter by going to smokinganddrinkinginspace.com/Patreon. For this week or this episode or however we're measuring time at this point, I'm Jason.
And I'm horny.
And we'll talk to you next time.